Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to NASA's Johnson Space Center. We're here for the post-mission management team press briefing, the first of several that we'll conduct throughout Atlantis's mission to the International Space Station, the STS-135 flight. Joining us is the chairman of the MMT, Leroy Kane. He's also the deputy manager of the Space Shuttle program. He'll tell you all about the MMT meeting today, and then we'll throw it open for questions. With that, I'll turn it over to Leroy.
Okay. Thank you, Kyle, and good afternoon. It's great to be here. I want to start out by congratulating the entire Space Shuttle program team and the folks across the country that make it possible for us to execute these missions. The launch yesterday was flawless, and since then, Atlantis has been performing outstanding on orbit. But the entire team that prepared Atlantis and the entire STS vehicle to be ready to fly yesterday deserves a great pat on the back. They worked very hard, as they always do, and we have been determined to finish strong, and this is a good beginning of finishing strong on this last mission. So just a great job by the entire processing team down at the Kennedy Space Center, fantastic job by the entire engineering and safety teams who got us prepared to go fly this mission. We did have, coming off of STS-134, we had a few issues, not even issues, but we had a few items, things that we needed to disposition and work through, and the team did their usual outstanding, rigorous job and due diligence in allowing us to be able to disposition those items and be able to go fly again. And so again, between the folks that prepare the vehicle and the rest of the team who prepare the crew and the flight control team and the launch team, the engineering team that helps us work through the issues, and the safety team, just across the board, a fantastic effort by the entire team. And again, in keeping with our promise to ourselves, really, to finish strong, this was a great first step. We really put our best foot forward on this mission in terms of the way we started off the mission yesterday in the launch of Atlantis. The team had to work through a couple issues, and I know you probably heard some talk about those, but the mission operations team did an outstanding job working through and evaluating the weather, and the launch team, the same thing for the launch weather. As it turned out, the weather turned out to be a little bit more of a challenge for the landing, the abort landing scenarios, and so the mission ops team here in Houston is responsible for those aspects of the launch weather and the landing weather decisions, and so just a great job by that team as well in terms of us being able to get launched yesterday. So a hearty congratulations to the entire team. We couldn't be happier with the way we started off this mission. So with that, we did talk in the mission management team today. It was a fairly brief discussion because, as I said, Atlantis is performing outstanding on orbit. The crew is doing great. They're in great spirits, they're in great health. In fact, they're doing so well that they canceled their normally scheduled private medical conference that they had slated for last night. And so they're just doing really well. And today was a great day for them on orbit. They've completed all their tasks up to this point in the timeline. I think they go to sleep in a few hours here at about 6:30 local time. But today the big activities were completing the wing leading edge and nose cap surveys that we do on the thermal protection system. And so all of those surveys are complete. The boom is berthed, and the crew is off doing some other activities in preparation for rendezvous and docking tomorrow before they go to sleep tonight. So all of the survey activity went quite well. They were far ahead in the timeline the entire time today. They worked on getting those images downlinked. And so we'll have all of that data on the ground by sometime during the crew sleep period tonight. We'll have the remaining portions of that data on the ground. The other data that we normally have, imagery data from the ground cameras, from the ET umbilical well cameras, the handheld images that the crew takes, what we call the ET digital stills, those are down at the ground. And so we're on our normal timeline where our data gathering is concerned with respect to all the imagery data that we expect to have at this point. So all of that is going very well. And as I mentioned, the crew is at a very full and busy but very productive day, and they've been ahead of the timeline the whole day. So we don't have any issues as far as anomalies. We don't have any anomalies. We don't have any significant issues in so much as we don't even hardly have anything that can be listed on the funny list or on the items that were trending. And so the vehicle is extremely clean, so we don't have anything in that regard to talk about, and didn't have anything to talk about in the MMT on those items. Tomorrow we look forward to the rendezvous and docking. I think you've probably been told the times for those respective activities. And so just in summary, it's been a great start to this mission, and I couldn't be happier in terms of where we are on orbit. The crew's doing great, the vehicle's doing great, the team on the ground is performing at a very high level, and just very happy to be at this point and looking forward to docking tomorrow. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions, Kyle.
Okay, great. As you guys see, we have a fixed microphone, so you're gonna have to walk over to it. I know it's might be a little exercise, but so everybody can hear you. We'll go around the room here and then take the phone bridge and start with Mark.
Hey, thank you. Mark Caro for Aviation Week. What would the desired timeline be for the MMT to have all the imagery from the launch damage assessment standpoint assessed, and you're able to make a determination?
Well, our desire is somewhere in the flight day 4 to flight day 5 time frame, Mark, and I anticipate we'll actually be a little ahead of that timeline in this particular case. I think the team is planning on having tomorrow we'll do the rendezvous pitch maneuver, and we'll get our great imagery from that, and all of that will make it to the ground by about the time we dock tomorrow, actually. And so the team will start pouring through that data. We have tentatively scheduled the focus inspection evaluation meeting for early evening tomorrow. And so that's a little ahead of where we actually need it in terms of the decisions that we like to be able to make where the MMT is concerned. So as has been the nature of this mission from T0, the crew and the team on the ground are pretty much ahead of the timeline. So that's a very good sign.
Philip Sloss with NASASpaceflight.com. Could you just provide a status on the SRBs in terms of getting those towed back into port, please?
Sure. The boosters are in tow, and they'll make it to the port, I believe, tonight with open assessment tomorrow is what we were briefed today, I think.
I'm Dan Vergano with USA Today. I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the discussion of extending the mission one day. Sort of, it might be obvious to you, but what does that get you, and what's your thinking now?
Okay, sure. The space station program would very much like us to extend a day, if at all possible. While we are there, we have more hands that are able to do the work on hand at the International Space Station, and so there's a desire for us to utilize our four-person crew, albeit only four-person, it is four more people than they'll have when we leave. And so right now we're in really good shape relative to working toward the possibility of being able to extend, and that is to say, more specifically, where the cryogenics are concerned, the reactants that we use for the fuel cells and the power on the orbiter. We have 23 hours of margin, and that doesn't quite factor in where we know we're going to get some buybacks from what we didn't use on ascent and launch day. That just hasn't been all calculated and computed in the spreadsheet yet. So I feel pretty good about where we are in terms of being able to possibly extend a day. If we keep heading down this path and things continue to go well for us, then I think we'll have an opportunity to make that decision in a couple of days.
Denise?
Denise Chow at space.com. I'm just wondering if there was a need to have a focus inspection, where that would fit in the mission timeline?
We would do it in all likelihood on flight day 6. We have in sort of a standby version of the flight plan, we have it penciled in on flight day 6. And so that looks like the best place to do it relative to the other activities that we have planned.
And just to follow up, I was wondering if you could explain how challenging it is to do the inspections from today with a four-person crew as opposed to six or seven?
Well, that's a good question because, as you know, we normally do have some more hands on board. But I'm happy to report that our four-person crew is performing quite well, as I mentioned earlier, and staying ahead of the timeline. And that's saying a lot for Flight Day 2. Flight Day 2 is one of the most challenging days of the mission in terms of all of the activities that are required to be completed. And this crew was able to do that, has been able to do that throughout the day and stay ahead of the timeline. There are a lot of things that have to be set up in terms of cameras and positioning for the robotics work. It's a fairly extensive robotics work to scan the entire leading edge and the nose cap and do all of the cabin surveys that we do with the robotics and the cameras. And so it is a difficult thing to do with only a couple of people. And normally we have a couple more people that are able to look over their shoulder and in addition to doing some other activities that are necessary on Flight Day 2. Flight Day 2 is a little bit like the follow-up of setting up the campsite that you started at the end of Flight Day 1 when you got on orbit. So there's a lot of activity that has to take place, the inspection activity notwithstanding. And so, again, outstanding performance by the crew, and they've managed to complete a very very challenging task with fewer hands than we normally do, and they've done it without a hitch.
Let's go to the phone bridge, and you guys can think up some more questions for our spelling bee microphone there. Let's see, Seth Borenstein, Associated Press. Are you on the line, Seth?
Thank you. It's Seth Borenstein at AP Leroy. You talked about no anomalies at all on the list, especially given how you had a few last-second issues with the beanie cap and everything. How unusual is this to be such a clean flight with the crew getting such a head start on everything? Have you seen everything looking so positive, just so clean in the first full day of flight before? Because I know you've had a lot more time on this side than Kwasi. And also, does it seem like Atlanta certainly doesn't look and act like a ship ready for retirement. What do you think this means?
Let's see, your first question, Seth. We have been very fortunate, and I use the word fortunate really as a tribute to the teams that prepare these vehicles and the teams that that prepare the folks that execute the missions from a training standpoint. We've been very, very fortunate. For the last several missions, really the majority of the missions that we've flown in the last few years, we've had just outstanding performance of all the orbiters. So I'm not at all surprised that Atlantis has performed this well, and we're only a day plus into the mission here. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but getting through launch and ascent and orbit insertion and getting to this point in the mission as flawlessly as we have is no small feat. And so it is something to say that Atlantis' performance has been this outstanding. But we've seen it before on the other vehicles, and we've seen other crews perform the way this crew has performed on Flight Day 2. It's just that it is one of our most difficult days. And so if there are any other little glitches that go on, sometimes we have cable issues with laptop computers, or we have other issues associated with getting the things set up, as I mentioned, setting up the campsite, if you want to think about it that way. We've had other little nuisance kind of things, which aren't in and of themselves big problems or issues, but every one of those little things takes a little bit of time. And time is the essence of the real challenges that you have on Flight Day 2. So it takes a little bit of good fortune from that standpoint, and then a lot of hard work before you ever go fly by the vast majority of the team that you don't get an opportunity to talk to, you don't see them generally. But they're out there, and they're behind the scenes, and they're really the ones that are responsible for us being able to execute like this. As far as Atlantis performing like this and getting ready to retire, we've said from the beginning that we are dedicated and determined to finishing strong. We wanted the last flight to be the safest flight that we fly. We wanted the performance of the vehicle to be as good as it's ever been. We wanted the team to be able to execute at a level that as high or higher than we've ever been able to execute. And that has been what we've dedicated ourselves to as a team. And I think you're seeing that play out. I think you saw it in the final mission of Endeavor and the same thing for Discovery in the last few months here. And so I'm very pleased that we've gotten to this point. We have a long ways to go. This is an extremely challenging mission. A lot of people mistake this because it's whether it's because it's a final mission or because it's an MPLM and it doesn't have a big payload that we're going to leave on station in terms of like an AMS or an assembly type mission. It's a very challenging and extremely important mission to the space station program and to the international partners. So we have that entire mission in front of us, and we understand, I think, the challenges associated with getting it done with our four-person crew. And so, again, I'm very pleased at the start we've had here. And Atlantis performing the way Atlantis has to this point, being part of the equation, is a combination, again, of hard work and good fortune. It is what we were determined to do in terms of being able to finish strong. So this is what I expected, and I look forward to the rest of the mission and having it play out and finishing strong.
Anything else, Seth?
Thank you. No, that's it. Thanks.
Okay. Robert Perlman, Collect Space, are you on?
I am. Thanks. Leroy, I think there was some talk prior to the launch, a few weeks prior to the launch, about extending the time that the external tank camera was on to sort of follow it into reentry. Was that done, and did you get that footage, and what did it look like?
It was done. In fact, another thing the team accomplished in a very short period of time, we kind of pulled that on them a little late in the game in terms of making that request. And so, but in their usual fashion, they did an outstanding job in terms of being able to configure the systems before we flew to allow us to do that. And what we're talking about is the feed line camera that we normally have video from during the uphill ascent into orbit phase. And then so that we don't transmit over parts of the world that don't normally want us to have those kind of RF signals transmitted, we turn it off. And in this case, we asked if we could leave it on longer so that we'd be able to see the reentry of the external tank. And the team was able to configure the systems to be able to do that. We were able to, our network team, Jim Bongeter and his team of folks, and Kathy Sham, really just went beyond the call in terms of being able to provide some capability on the ground with a station at Diego Garcia that could receive this information. As it turns out, the results, I think, are going to be about what we expected, which is when the tank gets to this point in its entry and reentry into the atmosphere, it's tumbling by this time. And the lighting is somewhat questionable, which, again, would be expected. So the information that I have is that we have captured the data from Diego Garcia. It is going to be questionable in terms of usefulness because of the motion of the tank and because of the lighting, but we haven't had any experts been able to look at it yet, and we won't have that, unfortunately, for probably a couple of weeks. And so that's not something that we'll likely see during the mission. It's possible, but it's just not likely that we'll see that by the time we finish this mission. But it was a best effort to begin with, and so we'll see what we see when we get the DVD. But that's the status of it as it stands today.
Thank you.
Okay, Bill Harwood, CBS News. Are you on, Bill?
Yeah, I'm on, but Leroy, I have no questions. Thank you very much.
Okay. We're back here. Anybody have any follow-ups? Yeah, Bill.
Just a quick follow on the ET camera. There were no airborne assets or any other assets besides Diego Garcia that were available for this?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, seeing no more questions, just a couple of quick programming notes. As Leroy mentioned, the crew heads to bed about 6:30, and of course we'll do the flight day highlights package starting at 8 o'clock Central Time on the hour, except for the one time that we will play the Space Shuttle program video, the Launching Our Dreams. If you haven't seen it, it's about 30 minutes. It's quite good. Atlantis docks to the station just after 10 Sunday morning. Of course, you'll see all of that on NASA TV. Our next mission status briefing is after that at 12:30 Sunday, and the MMT will meet again at 1, and then we'll be back here at 3 o'clock again tomorrow afternoon with another MMT update. And, of course, the team is watching over the rest of the cruise day, and the crew wake-up time tomorrow is 2:29 a.m. Sunday Central, 3:29 a.m. Eastern. So we'll head back to Mission Control and back to space. Thanks a lot, everybody.